The word of God given to us today is Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35. Allow me to read the words of God. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I will tell you the truth," Jesus answered. "This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Amen. Countless encounters take place in this world. We meet each other as family members, as neighbors, as teachers and students, and as friends. We also meet one another as workplace managers and co-workers. Some encounters last for a lifetime, and some only last for some time. It's been a long time since we've been able to meet people of countries around the world due to the development of civilization. All of these encounters are between people. There are also encounters of people and the nature's ecosystem, and the encounter of ecosystems within nature. But these days, it has become easier for us to encounter artificial intelligence than meet a living being. Our lives of social distancing has made it easier to meet based on the internet and smart devices. If you look up artificial intelligence in the dictionary, it states that this is a computer system that is able to perform tasks such as learning, reasoning, adaption, and proving. AI has crept into our lives without us realizing due to the development of technology. It is no longer new to hear about robots performing surgery, drones delivering parcels, robots delivering food, and riding self-driving cars. And devices with voice recognition technology are being upgraded every day so that people that find using smartphones or the internet difficult can utilize these new devices. AI is now a term that the public is familiar about. The term originated in 1956. It is known that the term AI was first introduced at a conference hosted by Dartmouth University in the US. At the time, it was close to impossible to create artificial intelligence with the cognitive capabilities of a human being. AI needs a diverse and extensive pool of data to be able to learn from this and make further developments. But at the time, there was not enough data, and the capabilities of hardware that helps analyze large amounts of data were also inefficient. A database for AI to learn from was created in the 1990s when data began accumulating on the internet. AI technologies continued to evolve through firms such as IBM and Google. The Go match in 2016 between AlphaGo, a program developed by the UK's AI tech firm DeepMind, and Korean Go player Lee Sedol let the world know about artificial intelligence. Metaverse refers to technology through which people are able to experience things in a virtual world as they do in the real world. The technology enables a person to do the same things in reality in a virtual world, which goes beyond playing games or enjoying virtual reality with an avatar. This is attracting people's attention because they would be able to do whatever they want in a virtual world without caring about what others think. There are expectations of how AI technology will further be used in the world we live in, but at the same time, concerns also exist. AI gives us speed and convenience, but it also takes away our time and attention, in addition to various spheres of our lives. What would be the most beautiful encounter in the history of humanity? It would be the encounter between the Creator and His creation. The encounter between the Creator, who became a man, and His creation was the encounter of Jesus and people during His public life. They ate and drank and laughed and cried with God the Son. But they did not know at the time they were eating and drinking with God the Son. That this encounter would be the greatest encounter in the history of mankind, and that the encounter would continue beyond theirs that took place while they lived through eternity. Jesus had supper with his disciples before he became a sacrifice for the Passover to take on the sins of humanity. This was the last Passover supper Jesus had on this earth, and this led to the first Holy Communion so that Jesus would be remembered by the coming generations. The disciples were able to remain the closest to Jesus and hear him speak. They were able to be present at the works of God Jesus performed. At times they were surprised, at times they found the situation difficult to comprehend, and at times they were scared. As time passed, though, the disciples found the Lord who was directed toward his death difficult to understand. They thought if he continued his work, that they would be able to assume important positions along with Jesus. One disciple even went as far as betraying his teacher, who was acting differently from what he had expected. But Jesus was not hesitant in carrying through his plan to shed blood to have the sins of the people of this world forgiven. And the disciples heard Jesus tell them another shocking prophecy after he said one of them would betray him. Let's look at verse 31. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Jesus did not tell his disciples not to be sad about his leaving them, or tell them to follow him, after telling them he would take on the cross. Jesus said, "You will all fall away on account of me." The word that has been translated into fall away means, "You will fall because of me." The disciples that followed Jesus for 3 years were certain that Jesus was a different existence from themselves. They thought this teacher they followed would be able to liberate Israel from Rome's oppression. But Jesus knew that his disciples would take a fall when they saw him being arrested by soldiers, contrary to their expectations. The first reason why the disciples came to betray Jesus was their weakness and fear of death. But Jesus says his disciples taking a fall because of him was an achievement of a prophecy by referring to the words recorded in Zechariah. Jesus, who made a shocking prophecy that his disciples would abandon him, then delivers a message of hope. Let's look at verse 32. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. The original word that was translated into half risen refers to pulling up a person from bed, the floor, or from death. And in today's passage, it was used as a verb indicating he rises after proclaiming victory from death. Jesus did not remain in despair. He told his disciples that he would arise from the dead and go ahead of his disciples into Galilee. Jesus was awaiting his arrest, execution, and death, but was not intimidated by death. He says he will arise and go to Galilee before his disciples, who are in despair. The reason Jesus told this to his disciples was to enable them to predict their encounter with the risen Lord in Galilee when they return home after falling into despair. And an angel that met the disciples at Jesus' grave after he rose from the dead reminded them of the words of Jesus that he would go to Galilee before them. And Jesus was there before his disciples at the place they returned to after becoming traitors. Peter, who was listening to Jesus speak, responds. Let's look at verse 33. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Peter, who was listening to the Lord speak, says with certainty that things will not take place as the Lord said they would. He says, even if all people take a fall due to Jesus, he would not. He says, even if everyone betrays Jesus, that he would not for one moment do so. Jesus responds to this in verse 34. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Jesus says Peter, who stated with certainty that he would never betray Jesus, would disown him three times. And he says this would take place that very night they were talking. The Hebrews knew the rooster crows at 12:30 at midnight and 1:30 and 2:30 in the morning. The reason Jesus referred to the rooster crowing was to show how easily Peter would break his oath in just a few hours. And Jesus' words that Peter would disown him three times before the rooster crows meant that Peter's betrayal would be a complete betrayal. Peter, who did not realize how weak and fragile he was, again says to Jesus in verse 35. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Peter thought it only made sense that they would die with Jesus according to their own will. He thought he would willingly choose to die even if he was placed in a situation where he had to die with the Lord. So he says he will not betray Jesus even if a circumstance unfolded in which he had to die. Peter would have been sincere in his words. It doesn't look like he was lying. But he didn't realize how fragile and a weak person he was at the time. Peter said with certainty he would never betray Jesus. but it's difficult to keep one's faith with human resolution. We know that it is difficult to keep our faith simply with our passion. The path of faith cannot be successful with only human resolution or passion. Then what will enable us to keep our faith? Will the years we have spent in faith help us keep our faith? Or will the years we spent serving the church keep our faith? No. Only the Word of God will enable us to keep our faith. Only the Word of God will serve as a source and power that will heal our brokenness. When we hear the Word of God, our hearts are moved. At times, this makes us shed tears. We determine to change our lives based on the Word of God that has moved our hearts. We think that we will be able to change the way we live based on our resolutions, but we aren't able to do this. Is this because the Word of God lacks power? No. Even if our hearts are moved by the Word of God and we make resolutions, if the Word of God does not stay in our hearts, we will live irrelevant of these words. Zacchaeus changed his life after his encounter with Jesus. What made him change? It was Jesus who first came to Zacchaeus. The words of God, the words of the Lord, who came to him first and ate with him, created a stir in Zacchaeus' heart. How can we have an encounter with the Lord? Can we meet the Lord if we say we want to? The only way we can meet the Lord is by him coming to us first. But Jesus already came to us by the word before we even wished to meet him. We will see a change in our lives when we keep the word of the Lord in our hearts like Zacchaeus did. When the word is in us, we are able to realize circumstances when we are not being honest. Only when the Word of God is in us does it tell us to face our proud selves. Only when the Word is within us can we discern what is of God and what is of this world. Only the Word of God is able to stop us who are not honest and who are proud. Only the Word of God makes us become aware of ourselves. If we read the Word but do not make it live inside of us, we will live lives that are irrelevant of God, even if we have believed in Jesus for 10, 20, or even 30 years. If there is no room for the Word of God to dwell within us, it will only stay in our hearts for a short while and then disappear. We know very well that our intimacy with the Lord does not depend on how long we have believed in him. Peter always heard Jesus speak from up close. His heart would have been moved and he would have made many resolutions. This is why he was certain that he would not betray Jesus when Jesus said all of his disciples would leave him. But contrary to his words, Peter was like a weak vessel, easily broken. However, we're able to see Peter, who was a weak vessel, transformed radically in Acts chapter 3. In Acts 3, we encounter an event where Peter heals a man who was lame from birth at the temple gate. The people who had witnessed the healing crowded around Peter, and Peter preached to the crowd as follows. The healing of the man who was lame since birth was not out of his own power. He preached that although the Jews used Pilate's authority to put Jesus, who was innocent, to death, the healing that took place that day was through the name of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Peter also called for the Jews to repent. It was wrong of the Jews to have been unable to recognize Jesus due to their spiritual blindness and put him to death. But Peter points out that even this was part of the prophecy and called for the Jews to repent and accept Jesus as their Savior and receive the grace of God's salvation. He goes on to emphasize that Jesus is the one who completes the covenant of the Old Testament and that he is Israel's long-awaited Christ, the Messiah. According to his covenant, God sent Jesus Christ and then allowed the Jews, the descendants of Abraham, to turn away from evil. So he preached the gospel so that they may repent and come to Jesus. How is Peter, who so certainly assured Jesus that he could die with him and turned around to betray him, raise a lame person to walk and preach this gospel with such confidence? This was because Peter believed in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. How did Peter, who was such a weak vessel, come to believe in the power of the name of Jesus Christ? This was because the Lord came to Peter so that all that he had said would come to life inside of Peter's spirit. The reason Peter was able to preach the gospel that salvation is possible through no other name but the name of Jesus Christ with such boldness is because Peter had met the resurrected Jesus in Galilee. It was not until Peter had met the resurrected Jesus that his faith took a turn for the latter half of his life. In his former days, Peter was always a step ahead of the Lord. When witnessing Jesus walking on water, he went ahead and insisted he too should be able to walk on the waters. When Jesus mentioned for the first time that he would face suffering, Peter went ahead and declared that no such thing could happen to Jesus. When Jesus said, "This very night you will all fall away," Peter was very disappointed at why Jesus was saying such a thing when he was there for him like a sturdy rock. So he went ahead yet again and insisted that he would never leave Jesus. However, the result of Peter trying to get ahead of Jesus was not successful. When he attempted to walk on the water, he fell in the sea out of fear of the winds, was called Satan as he was reprimanded by Jesus, and was told he was a hindrance, and he could only disown Jesus. However, after his encounter with the resurrected Jesus, Peter changed. After telling the disciples of the Passion, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." However, only after he stood in betrayal did Jesus' words come to life, not in his head, but within his spirit. The books of Peter are letters of encouragement from Peter, encouraging the congregation of the early church to wait upon the coming of Jesus with patience and take joy in partaking in the suffering of Christ. He exhorts them to live as holy wayfarers with love and humility, and even though one suffers while doing good, he encourages them to still continue to do good. Peter, who was staying in Rome, encouraged the church to patiently endure the persecution of the church when the Roman Emperor Nero blamed the great fire of Rome on the believers of Christ. He also proclaimed to the believers who are awaiting the coming of Jesus that the delay of his coming is because the Lord is waiting for everyone in the world to repent. He also emphasized that a believer's faith in awaiting the coming of Jesus is made evident through a holy life. He admonished the church not to live by the desires of the flesh, but in holiness and reverence in order to be spotless and blameless and stand in peace when the Lord comes. It sounds like Peter's words of encouragement and admonishment are being spoken to us today. We are living in patience in times of uncertainty, not knowing when the COVID-19 pandemic will end. Some members of the church may feel a sense of anxiety over their lives. We're also experiencing the results of numerous natural hazards around the world, as well as the effects of climate change. Regardless, the world seems to still be fixated on how healthy, how long, how elegantly, how boastfully one lives, and how much wealth one owns. Even if the world is fixated on how healthy, how long, how elegantly, how boastfully, how wealthily one lives, we as Christians must not live according to the desires of the flesh, but endeavor to live in holiness and reverence. We're also living in the age of the internet technology. However, we must remember not to lose our time and attention when we use such technology on a daily basis. We need to remember and spend more time on the living Word of God. If there is anything that draws us to go ahead of God's Word, we must discern what it is. After discerning the cause, we must make efforts to reorient our heart to stand before the Word of God. I believe most of our members are reading or writing the Bible to come closer to the Word of God. However, if your focus was on reading or writing in itself, the number of times one has read or written the Bible can become something we're proud of or feel self-righteous about. We need to examine our hearts if this is happening. Our focus remains on reading or writing the Bible. The miracle of the 5 bread loaves and the 2 fish will remain merely as knowledge of the Bible, become something to brag about, and become a source of self-righteousness. The moment we close our Bibles or put our pens down, we must let the Word of God live in our homes, our workplaces, and in our church community. We must let the Word of God move in us to become an instrument to heal this broken world. It was God who built the early churches through Peter, who used to be a weak vessel. In the same way, it is God who builds and strengthens us, weak vessels, in our anxiety and fear, and the Church of Korea, whose light is fading. It is my hope that this week will be a time of getting back up through the Word of God as He leads us to His Word, so that He continues to work in our lives to fulfill His plans. He'll smile in satisfaction as he looks upon these weeks of our lives. Let us pray. Almighty God, Peter, who was always full of confidence, stated with certainty he would be able to die with the Lord, but was a fragile person who could only become a traitor. We are, in essence, Peter. We confess that we, who are quick to speak, were unable to build the church like a church, and lived with our time being consumed by the issues of this world, and with our hearts and minds taken by the things of this world. We ask you to forgive us. You came to us and gave us life, your word, and a mission, but we confess that we still live pouring our attention into our sources of pride and righteousness. Please forgive us. You came to this world in flesh and are waiting to this day for many people of this world to be saved. Enable us to realize your heart with our spirit and not only our mind. Lord, you came to Galilee ahead of your disciples who failed and returned to their hometown. We are weak vessels that are easily broken. Thank you for pulling us up and making us witnesses of your gospel. Allow us the strength and courage to make good room for you to stay in our hearts, for us to be able to take on this mission. So let us bask in the eternal encounter with you, Lord, who is within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.